they're pointing to each other. I don't know.
But he's recording it, but he's doing, but Wilson's doing the minutes. Okay. So, if you look at your handy agenda, there's three items under new business, and I actually have a handout for each one of those items, and I just like us to keep in mind that what I'd like to be the end result of today's meeting, which Victor has said should end by
7:30,
is for us to have proposals to present before CWG on Monday, and that it's really not the mission of this working group per se to decide on it, but to come up with coherent proposals that then the full group can vote on. So the first document, the CWG Coordinating Committee, is actually a cut and paste from one of the many emails that Rob has sent me. do you not recognize it? and it's an effort to kind of bring back what we agreed on, what I think we agreed on at the November meeting, which is the structure of the Coordinating Committee. And then on the bottom are some finer points, which when I went over the minutes and the feedback of that November meeting are some details which I think we hadn't agreed on yet. So I think what we did agree on are basically the titles or the individuals that would be part of this coordinating committee. Right, the archivist, a treasurer, and then each working team chair, right, 1 through 8. And then additional positions based on work scope, which would be the B, under B, fundraising through planner coordination. And I think that's where there was consensus last time. Okay. And then I think some of the clarification needs to be done around which positions are voted versus appointed, terms for each of those positions.
What's planner coordination?
Planner coordinator is an individual that's going to work with the urban planner. From the $136,000 that we have left. Mm-hmm. So one person to be working closely with the urban planner.
I still don't understand why the archivist should be in the steering committee. Because the notion of the archivist, as I understood it, was not to be a secretary. Mm-hmm. So someone who is just ensuring that the documents are available, mm-hmm, somewhere, but not to create the documents, not to manipulate the documents, but simply to make sure that they're somewhere.
But can that archivist, or whatever title that person is going to be, a totally somebody separate from the CWG? In other words, somebody who's just good at collecting documents, or is it a member who does that as part of?
It could actually be either one. It's just somebody to make sure that, a point person who makes sure that we have all our documents.
Then
so what yeah. To have a certainty does it depend on what we call
it? The group decided to call it not secretary, because the secretary is somebody who actually writes these documents.
So that has now excluded.
Well, not exactly excluded, because this archivist could fulfill the role of secretary just as anybody could at some meeting. But yeah, as archivist, yes, that person is only responsible for storing.
Okay, so whereas we have now agreed to have an archivist, we agree to have a secretary that would take notes and produce them in minutes, yes?
The idea was that every meeting should have a secretary. Any meeting.
And how would we go about doing it?
As we did today, who's going to be the secretary? Who's going to take the notes?
So, it wouldn't matter everyone, that if we have one that everyone had a consensus about, for having one that we have hazardly select at each meeting. So it doesn't make a difference, does it?
The purpose was, the overall purpose of these offices was to limit the responsibilities, because we had responsibilities that were too overblown that nobody wanted to take. It got to be
so now we're left with nothing.
No, not with nothing, but with narrower responsibilities. So you have secretaries who don't have to take minutes every week, every month, every committee. But, you know, people can move it around. In order to make that possible, you have to have some point person who's going to make sure.
I heard the archivist thing, and I clearly have it in my mind that that's separate from the secretary, if I can use the term secretary. But I know that we have a need to produce minutes. I don't care what you call it, but I know it's not the archivist, so therefore we need a secretary. You're saying that the secretary is something that will occur at each meeting we have. And the reason we would do that, rather than having a more permanent kind of a secretary, as we would a chair or a treasurer, is because we want to reduce the scope.
Well, let me ask you, if we had a secretary, what would that function be? Would that person be responsible for taking minutes for every committee meeting?
No, every committee, like CAPS, would have its own secretary.
Every full board meeting would have a secretary.
Should we have a full board secretary?
That's my question.
And you know, my own feeling is that the full board should probably make that decision.
Well, the full board will make all decisions. So, in as much as we're preparing a document for the full board to make decisions about, may I add a secretary position to that list?
So he's submitting that as an option for discussion or vote.
So I would suggest a second option.
Okay.
That there, without having a secretary, a continual position secretary for the full board, full board chooses secretary at each meeting.
It's like an enduring secretary or a non-enduring secretary.
I think it works.
The problem is
what?
To have each committee, when we have a meeting, they have their own secretary.
There is a skill to taking notes, paying attention, and if you choose to articulate an opinion at the same time, to be able to do all three of those.
That's really
difficult.
I can't do it. I can't even articulate anything.
But we're recording all of these, so you can go back. And
hello.
I can definitely volunteer my equipment.
Are the recordings generally good quality?
I don't know. You guys listen to the recording? Were they any good? It's recorded and it's put on WMA file.
Sure.
You can download it. You can blast it. Do whatever you want to.
But it's not a written.
But does it get the original? Victor's all the way over there. The machine's here.
You won't catch back conversation. But if you're actually speaking to the group as you are there, it catches pretty well.
But who is going to be responsible for the recording of minutes? This is a very practical question.
You mean the written? Recording.
The written one is a separate story. No, I can't.
I think
it has to be the same person, because there has to be a consistency in format.
Well, maybe that's what, I think that's a good point. I think that's maybe what we need to talk about, because I think you or May at one meeting was, you know, said, you know, notes of the conversation are good, but notes of what has been, you know, if there's a debate, you know, what was the debate about? And if there's a decision, what was the decision?
Because if you go to the website and you look back at the minutes where Elisa was there and knew, like, her job was to capture the essence of the debate, those minutes are much higher quality than kind of the randomly selected.
Yeah, they're easier to read.
They're clear.
Well, the person's aware of the issues Yeah. It's easy for them to write it out.
And you don't want to debate over the language people use and what they said exactly, but you do. There may be reason to, you know, correct. If she says that the debate was about, you know, whatever, X and Y, and she forgot to put Z, someone needs to say, okay, well, you didn't bring in this other point.
Couldn't there be minutes that simply reflected the conclusions of the discussion rather than who said what?
Could be. That's what we have to decide. That's what we have to figure out.
Well, I would suggest that that is a consistent format, is that the minutes should only record that which has been concluded by consensus.
Well, the issue was brought up. Then there's got to be, you should have some discussion on it.
That everything's included.
Yeah, I mean, you should have some kind of lead into why certain things happen.
Why?
Because if you have, you don't know the reasoning behind certain.
But you know the conclusion. Yeah. But you know the conclusion, and that should all be what you need to know.
Well, there's a problem with the Chinatown Working Group full of meetings for something like that in the past, certainly, because it hardly ever voted on anything. So there was a lot of things that happened, but there was some discussion, but the minutes would reflect, such a minutes would reflect absolutely nothing.
So conscious about am I of that, that I'm suggesting that minutes get us in trouble if you want to record everybody, what everybody said and what the discussion was. Because I know that I have disagreed with minutes describing a conversation that I didn't think was the real conversation. But I would agree objectively that when the body comes to a question, the question be voted on, and that is the conclusion. And that forms the record. What one said about that, or what many said about it, is not relevant anymore. That's what we decided to do. We voted on it, and that's part of the record. And we move on from there. And I think the secret of that's what, by the way, that's what narrows the role of the secretary. A secretary is not free to decide what these discussions were. The secretary simply records the conclusion.
Well, that is supposed to be winnowed by the group when it presents, when the minutes are presented at the next meeting. And at that point, they look at it and say, wait a minute, this doesn't reflect the discussion as it was. I didn't say that. Or you forgot that I said such.
Right. Do you really believe that whatever the secretary wrote down to give us the context of what came to that conclusion is good, we're all going to agree on? I don't think so.
Well, good minutes people look at and say, well, that looks more or less what you said.
But they can't change the conclusion. If the conclusion is what it is, and we all vote on it,
we voted, I think in the last year, we voted twice. That would mean that our minutes were, we had a minute, we convened, these people came, we adjourned.
Now, Rob, I'm suggesting that however we have operated in the past, we're trying to improve now for the future. And for the future, I'm suggesting that because we got into those quandaries, that minutes caused, that we simply record the conclusions and the vote that led to those conclusions. That's all.
Okay.
Okay. I just have a quick question. So, like, right now, this discussion, how would you write it in a minute?
Well, if this, if everyone agreed with me, I would say,
I'm curious.
I would say that this group voted to define the role of the secretary as one who records the conclusions of the discussion for the record, which is then approved at the following meeting.
But we didn't vote. That's what you're saying.
You don't have to vote to have a conclusion. If you all agree with me right now, I would say that's the conclusion. I'll repeat it again. And that's the conclusion.
So I think I'm saying that so it's for the benefit of whoever's going to be doing actual minutes, it's clearer, because if he's doing it, he would be writing it down, and by the end, when he's writing it out, what am I supposed to be recording?
The consensus was that the secretary's role is defined as one who records the conclusions of the discussion.
I think as someone who wasn't at the meeting, though, I would be interested in hearing about what the different issues were during the discussion.
So therefore, you would expand the role of the secretary that Rob is trying to narrow down, because what you think is important. In other words, we are approaching this question only because some people think there shouldn't be a secretary, that someone is going to magically volunteer to record minutes, and then we have all these different kinds of formats of people taking minutes, which is a nightmare. And we're trying to avoid that.
Well, it was a question of guidelines, no matter whatever, how many people do it.
Well, I presented one guideline, and I think a principal guideline is that you only record, and that what you're saying has no relevancy anymore, because the discussion's over.
But I think it does, more often than not, we don't reach a conclusion. So let's say at the end of this discussion, we don't reach a conclusion. If I wasn't here, I would be interested in hearing all the different issues that people raised in order to inform my decision later.
Okay, so then the conclusion is that there was no consensus on that question. That's right.
But as a result of that...
That's how you define it, that's okay.
But either way, as long as you have a guideline.
But she's saying that you have to record somehow the discussion
points. That way you don't
points.
Have to rehash
the 2-hour recording.
No, but I mean, that way you don't have to rehash a disagreement at a later meeting. Someone who doesn't go to this meeting, at the next meeting, if we had to continue this session, can just read the minutes and understand what the issues were, at least the major issues.
I don't know how often that takes place, that need.
I think in the time to read it, it takes quite a lot.
Well, it's because of the way the minutes have been recorded. That's why.
Well, I've been to every meeting, but I don't look at the minutes afterwards, so I don't know how well...
I don't either.
But I think it would be nice...
I've been reading the minutes.
Are they good?
They have a lot of information, a lot of details of things that were said. Often things that would normally be called the chair's report. There's a lot of things that the chair said are recorded in the minutes, and then there are also discussions as well.
So, well, what I'd like to know is whoever's going to be doing these minutes, they should have a guideline on how to do these minutes. Yeah. That way
it
will be consistent across the board.
We can make a template.
Because
that way it's easy for people to volunteer to do it.
The concrete issue, though, is do we need to add a position under B here that says full board recording secretary?
That's what I'm recommending, secretary.
Let me just mention another issue is that we have the steering committee now that has, 14 members? If it includes the archivist, which I don't think it should, that would be 13 members, but now we're adding a secretary to the full board, so it's back to 14.
Yeah,
unless you include the archivist, in
those
case, 14
without the archivist, isn't it? 8 plus 6?
It's 14 with the archivist.
The archivist
is up here, right?
Yeah, it's 15.
I don't think the justification of adding a secretary should be...
It's 16 with the
treasurer.
So it would be 17 members with
the... I don't think the question of secretary should be judged on the basis of how many other positions it's going to be part of. You should look at the other positions and eliminate those. Secretary position is a fundamental position in most... if not all organizations, all, because it's the corporate record keeper, and it's essential. It's recognized in state law. The community board has secretaries.
Two, a recording and a regular.
There are, I think, two things here. One is that we've agreed on an archivist. Defined in such a way that the archivist doesn't really have any contentful that's what I would suggest. However, if you have a secretary of a full board, that is a content position, and it's useful to have that person on the steering committee so that the co-chair doesn't say, we decided thus and so, and the secretary is there who says, no, we didn't say that, we said thus.
So we agree.
So I don't think that the secretary of the full board should be in.
So we're adding
a number 7 here. Full board, I have it as full board recording secretary.
But taking off the archivist.
So now we don't have an archivist.
We're having an archivist, but not on the steering committee.
Okay, so then I guess that's, so then the archivist and the treasurer are both not part of steering committee.
The archivist is not in the steering committee, but the secretary of the full board is.
She's asking the treasurer.
Treasurer? Do you have an opinion on the treasurer?
The treasurer should be on the steering committee.
Yeah, report back.
We're now calling it the coordinating committee, people.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Get with it.
Why should the treasurer?
Because
they know where all the money is?
It's a corporate position.
But that's like a...
It's a corporate responsibility.
Isn't it suffice that the treasurer produces a one-line report that says there's this much money or not?
I wouldn't want the secretary to be so narrow-minded as that.
No, this is the treasurer.
I wouldn't want the treasurer to be so narrow-minded as that. Because I think the treasurer also has to know the statutory requirements of how to record account for the money, deposit the money, understand the differences between bank resolutions. It's a corporate responsibility that the Chinatown Working Group deserves to have.
Okay, so now there's, if we add the treasurer, then that's 16. We're looking at 16 members of coordinating committee. Right, treasurer plus each working team chair listed 1 through 8, and then the point positions 1 through 6 plus full board recording secretary, 16.
Is it a possibility one of the chairs can also be the treasurer, so you have one less person?
Of course.
Right?
Well, it's possible that one person could
because
do
then,
all
no,
these
because
things.
Because then it's like each person gets one vote, and then if you have two, then...
No, I'm just asking. I'm just curious.
Well, I guess it goes down to my... If we do go to chairs, does he or she get a vote? And then that would determine whether or not you could have double duty.
Because some people might have talents for both fields, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that that's a problem.
But we haven't decided whether we...
We haven't decided anything.
Right. So, I guess... Okay, let's just take this one step at a time. Are we comfortable with everything...
Yeah,
above additional details.
I think we should resolve the question of double responsibilities. If somebody takes two of these responsibilities...
Okay.
They have one vote or two votes?
They still only get...
Only one vote.
One vote.
One vote for human being.
That's fine. I mean, that would... You would eliminate one of the positions if you...
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. Anything else about the structure
without
of the coordinating
more power.
Committee?
Right.
You can have more work, but not more power.
I need a working team.
As needed. They're not always...
Is it really necessary?
Rob made all of those work.
Huh?
Rob made all of those work.
Is it necessary? It seems like then it's like fewer and fewer people in each working team instead of... Because a lot of these issues are interconnected.
Presumably, these working teams
are currently in existence.
Well, they are in existence, and they're going to continue because they're going to work on the agencies.
I would think that the answer to the question, Josephine, is that there is this list of working team titles because that is how the Chinatown Working Group is currently comprised. And until you change that, you cannot change this.
No, no. These are not the current. There's no. I don't think there's a separate working team for the affordability or for cultural and historic preservation.
It's CAPS.
It's been folded in.
Yeah.
There
used to be.
Yeah.
That this is all CAPS, right? Because
so you're
all
saying.
Right. So that should be called. Yeah.
One and two.
I'm saying we should only have
the
working team.
Rob, there are enough positions. You could take another one.
I'm just saying, is it going to change from what it is now? Like CAPS, I mean.
I would suggest, Madam Chair,
according
to what Josephine is saying, the spirit of what Josephine is saying.
So collapse one and two.
Collapse all of them to be only what is currently comprised of as working
with the preliminary action plans.
The Cultural and Historic Preservation Team would not be happy.
Because
the activity
that they're not really part of CAPS. They are separate already.
We're part of
CAPS. Yeah, CAPS. P is the preservation.
That's
P
right.
Is okay.
I would argue, Rob,
preservation and zoning.
That you be consistent with and have some sense to this. That we only have the working teams as the composition of the coordinating committee, and that your question regarding a separate working team be taken up with CAPS, and maybe we'll give you independence.
So then 1, 2, and 8 would be collapsed into one.
Right.
That would just not. That would not be good.
For example,
it might be possible to collapse affordability into zoning because the affordability team has not met for I don't know how many, like a year. Affordability hasn't met. Actually, asked that we meet.
It didn't have to be because it did its work.
Actually, it didn't completely.
Okay, but they thought they thought they did, so you shouldn't say it that way. They thought they met and finished their work.
The question is the relevant question is whether CAPS can itself. But is it qualified to do all the work that the affordability team would want it to do?
But Rob, I just think realistically, I don't know how people are going to have time to go to all these separate meetings. I mean, I think if there's some people within CAPS who want to take up a certain issue and they go work on it independently, come back and report back, and that makes more sense.
The coordinating committee is less about content, right? And it's more about process, procedure, democracy, right? So you don't necessarily need to have all these people in all these specific areas to go into the content area, because you do it in when those groups meet and then the full board.
My model. Okay, my model is to have one person who is a monitor for all the teams. Just one guy who is responsible for making sure that all the teams are doing what they're supposed to be doing, meeting, having regular meetings, doing whatever it is they're supposed to be doing, and just one person. I would be perfectly happy with eliminating all of those eight and have one person who is the coordinator of all the teams.
I think that's
the working
team
people could also always go to the steering committee meeting and then.
I think that's a bad idea, because I think the coordinating committee comprised of these working teams allows the dialogue with each other. Otherwise, there is no channel, no formal channel for each of those working teams to communicate. That's a serious problem. We need to all talk to one another. We need to know, in order for us to do our work in CAPS, we need to know what's going on in the other working teams and the content.
Let me suggest that I think that we're looking at two very radical ideas. This proposal is more like a real Chinatown working group that is active and working on policy. And the full board meetings, the full Chinatown working group, they're more like a support group. They're there to legitimize it.
Well, mine too.
And I like what you're suggesting. This is where the people who are working on it come together and think about what's going on.
And therefore.
I like it. Prepared.
And therefore.
That's to have all of these here. That's to have many, many. A large group of active.
So what I'm proposing, again, is that not resolving the cultural and historic preservation question at this time, that all of the current working teams that comprise the Chinatown Working Group comprise the core of the coordinating team. And I think that Josephine's concern is well taken. there are too many. So whatever now is a working team is part of the coordinating committee. And
so that would be
six.
Whichever ones that have a preliminary action plan, right?
That's right.
How many plans that we have.
So then it would be six, not eight.
So we collapse a couple of them.
What Victor is suggesting is that any team that is alive, that is meeting, should be there.
Yes.
So cultural and historic preservation is still meeting. I think
so they're seven. I wouldn't argue with that. I just think that cultural and preservation will always come back to CAPS, but they will always meet separately. And I think because they are a separate.
So then we're really just taking out affordability.
Affordability. But is everyone?
It's not taking it out. It's folding it in.
It's not taking it out. It's folding it into.
Folding it in.
So now we're down to 15.
But bear in mind that I requested that affordability meet for something very specific.
You should really raise that at the CAPS meeting.
I think the principle is the right principle. Whatever teams are active should be there. Those teams that are not active drop out as they drop out.
So they don't need to go to all the meetings, you're saying?
I'm sorry?
You're saying the teams that are not active do not have to attend the meetings or they drop out? Or what do you mean by dropping out?
Nobody's dropping out.
No one's dropping out. We're just folding in two. There's one less voting member, but they're... And they can still continue to meet and do work on their own, but they're just not a separate voting member of the coordinating committee.
So you're saying that the cultural and historic preservation team should not be...
No. I'm saying we only take out... We're eliminating one voting spot because affordability is folded into zoning and cultural and historic preservation would still be in there. So there's going to be 15 spots. Seven, two to through eight, and then on part B, one through seven, plus the treasurer.
And I can ask, why did you take affordability out of CAPS and make it separate?
Why did I take it out?
Why did anybody take it out? Why was this presented this way? It doesn't matter. The point is that the working teams are what they are. That's what should comprise the coordinating committee, with the exception of cultural and historic preservation remaining as is.
I mean, my feeling was that the steering committee should be comprised of this, you know, B, 1 through 8, and then any teams and any committees that the Chinatown Working Group feels it should have on the steering. That's what I think. So my idea is that the Chinatown Working Group should make these decisions on what its steering committee should look like, rather than giving them a list of people.
We're trying to define what is the Chinatown Working Group.
I'm sorry?
We're trying to define what is the Chinatown Working Group and by what does it govern itself. And we're saying from elemental points that it's comprised of the working teams at the very least. Once we decide that, and they need and want to make changes to its essential structure, it's free to do so. But for the purposes of capturing who we have been in the past and giving some reference to members when they come together so they're not totally disoriented about what's going on here, we're saying, members, nothing essentially has changed or things have not changed radically, that the coordinating committee is currently comprised of the working teams as they have been, with the exception of the
affordability.
And affordability will be folded back into zoning where it has always been.
Not always.
Well, I don't know what CAPS means then, but the point is that the seventh, that's the eighth lines you see there.
Victor, let me cut it short. I'm fine with that. So.
Okay. Next.
That's the minutes. That he was fine with.
Yes. All right. So, first bullet under additional details. Voted versus appointed.
Where are you going now?
The second part, the additional details that needs to be determined.
So which of these positions do you think should be voted on at full board versus appointed? For example, each of the working team chairs were
already chairs
appointed by their working team members or members that routinely came to meetings when they were developing their preliminary action plans. And we kind of continued on in that sort of vein. So, are we now saying all of these positions need to be voted on each and every time?
I mean, I can't imagine that that group, the whole Chinatown Working Group, even if there were controversy in one of the teams, I can't imagine that group voting a chair out. It's almost like no point there.
Couldn't you legitimize the chair?
Can we say it positively and say, well, they've all been doing a really good job?
This is my thought, is that there are some chairs that I think there might be a chair who is controversial.
Uh-huh.
And I sort of feel that it wouldn't be great to have the Chinatown Working Group to legitimize it by voting all together for them, and it would be easier just to let the controversy arise as it happens.
Okay, so can we, for example, I will throw something, a structure out there. So the working team chairs, so now the seven, right, on the top under A, those will be sort of organically decided by, or just continue as they are now, slash if their needs wants to be changed, it'll be done within each working team. But then
I think it should be the same as a chair, full chair.
Like
so
what?
You want all 15 positions to be voted on?
No, I mean it should be decided within the working team.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah, but at the same time I think it shouldn't just be organically, like it should have a more formal structure. Like for example, if the chair, co-chair, the overall chair, co-chair, if it's up for vote, for example, every 6 months, every year, then it should be the same with the chairs of the working team.
I agree with that.
So the terms are the same.
As the chair.
Yes.
Right. Not like organically. But
no. But I mean, there can be terms, but then there's also maybe organically not the right word. I guess by organic I meant not presented for a vote in front of.
It's not voted by the full board.
Entire
chairs. CWG. Chairs of individual working teams are determined by those. By the working team members.
Yeah.
At intervals each year, or whatever the intervals we decide.
Because I don't think there's any one committee that's more than one person volunteer to be chair or co-chairs. Not too many.
Yeah, people aren't fighting to be.
Like, there might be.
Well, that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. Then you come to a vote, and they determine by who's.
Okay, so what about the point positions, 1 through 7? Fundraising through full board recording secretary.
I think that those functions, which are particular to the coordinating committee and the governance of the Chinatown Working Group, is something that should come out of the coordinating committee somehow, through nominations or voluntary.
So you're saying that recommendations for those positions come out of coordinating committee but be approved by full board?
So it's nominated by coordinating committee and approved or confirmed by the board.
Yeah, ratified
by the full
board.
Okay. Are we objections?
Unless the other
body.
Let us assume we're the coordinating committee.
Assume.
And we say to each other, we need a fundraising chair.
I nominate you, and then we.
Somebody seconds it, and there it is.
So, could we try this now? Do you think you could find these people?
I think we have to work on a model and present it to the full Chinatown Working Group and trust that process.
Because right now we're only proposing the structure.
What's the problem?
Where are we going to find these people? Normally it would be going to the full group and saying, who wants to do this?
We have to give these people you speak of a structure that they can have confidence in. Then we'll find them. And if we give them, we have to give them a very tight kind of a structure to vote on in February, right? And I think then if they see that there's a semblance of something that's enduring more than it has been in the past, people will have more confidence. And I suspect that we will have some omissions, but for the most part, we would be functioning with as many people as will volunteer.
And I think a lot of these positions are not, you don't have to be 100% all the time. Like events, that person is only really going to be doing a lot of work when there are events. And so I think more people may step up because the boundaries are a lot tighter now.
Somebody proposed events. Now, somebody propose a person for events. Do you have any idea?
Oh, it depends on the event.
Well, right. All the events, right? This is an events.
No, person. It could be one or two events.
It's like a town hall.
No, I'm just asking. Somebody.
I would nominate somebody like Elisa.
And I might agree with that nomination.
I will nominate for her to be like the point person.
Okay, right? Then who for government agency coordination?
Me.
Really?
Well.
She's volunteering, and I agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can volunteer too.
Okay. Planner coordination.
I would do the technology. So
we wouldn't want you to. Stella might do that one. She's been doing a lot of it.
Yeah,
I don't think that's how you answer this.
I also think that there are individuals that are not necessarily voting representatives that may have had a peripheral role that haven't stepped forward yet that might want to.
Right, but we don't have to.
We also take
volunteers. It's like a nominating committee.
Let it go. Yeah.
I'm just asking if you can do this.
Yes.
No. I think if we're playing a broader picture for CWG, then we shouldn't be limited to the people that we know and we see all the time.
Right.
Because
right.
If we're trying to make this a better structure, better organization, then we hope that there are newer faces that would join, that we would see more, and hopefully they would bring a lot more energy and a lot more talent that some of us we see more and more don't particularly have. And if we limit to the people of John Leo's and the Victor Papas, then we're going to run into trouble.
I totally agree, and that's why we want new blood. We want a sort of a grassroots.
This is.
And I know that the dilemma is that maybe we won't find that, but if we are very limited to our larger goal, then.
So.
I hope that in the back of our mind that we do have a backup plan, that there are dependable people. Dependable people that have been coming to and participating CWG all the time that we could depend on. If we get trapped into a little dilemma, we could find these people, but we need to think broader and bigger.
That's the whole idea.
By the way, these point positions are positions that are, as has been said already, they're going to be occasional, right? There'll
right.
be a technology question. We'll have
right.
to ask someone to handle
it. A special consultant, sort of.
Right. There'll be a fundraising event, and it may happen in April. So we don't need to deal with that all the time. There'll be one person, that point person, that will do that. These are not standing. These are not standing committees, or I dare not use that word. These are not staring, whatever the hell you want to call them. They're not standing. Whereas the working teams are standing committees, units.
So will they be ad hoc committees?
Like essential ad hoc.
I heard it the other way around, actually. Like, I thought the working teams served a purpose, and that's why they were brought together. they were kind of, you know, so they weren't standing in that sense, but these other point areas are things that the CWG needs to continue doing, and therefore they're standing. I mean, maybe that's what you mean, that we're just using different words?
I think that there's an event that needs to be planned. I really believe that depending on the event, you're going to find somebody else. We'll always need to do events, but we don't need to have that as an enduring, standing thing that we talk about every week. We ask somebody to take up the event, organize it, come back and report.
You really can't predict the future. We have
We have these members.
We have these positions. We created these positions, and those people are going to be responsible for whatever happens during their term, which we haven't decided.
Okay, so I'm sorry. What are we arguing about? Like, what is the discussion around?
Whether the coordinating committee is going to co-opt even more power by proposing the names, the candidates of the 8 point positions.
No.
So
I don't think we're actually proposing. I think it's people that comes forward and we're just nominating them.
But why couldn't, let's say, we make an announcement at the full board and say, we're now considering individuals for these positions. Please come to a coordinating committee meeting if you're interested. And it's not like the coordinating committee sits in a room and says, let's decide who our best friends are and put them all on a list.
I like what you just described. I think that should be written.
Okay,
that's fine.
So
I agree with that.
Put something
so
in
that
there
should be
about
the procedure.
Okay,
that's
it's agreed.
It's a wonderful procedure because you're asking them to come to the coordinating committee, which is what we're asking them eventually to
we always
to do.
We've always done that. Announcements of elections.
And it means that you're going to the Chinatown working group and saying who wants to be this.
Okay, excellent. So
I feel that they're a little bit.
Yeah.
Are we done with?
Yeah,
bullet one. Okay, two. What are the terms for each position?
I think for
one
life.
Year.
I think it's a year.
1 year.
Year is fine. It can always. It's so.
Okay, so now we're down to.
The question.
But is there a term limit?
Oh, 1 year. Is there a term limit?
I hate that whole thing. The whole time. You don't.
Fine. I'm just bringing it up.
If we don't like the chair, get rid of the chair.
Okay.
Right. Get rid of the chair. This thing about term limits is.
But if you like them, you can re-vote them in.
We ought to impose our will on the chair. Not to have an article of incorporation tell us when the chair leaves or stays. We ought to determine.
So one other thing. So 1 year terms for everyone.
Yes.
Same time.
Yes.
At the same time, so to start at whichever month we end up voting this.
Yes.
So each working team has that responsibility of doing it.
Right. Right.
Cool.
So everything will be coordinated. So we'll be doing it several months ahead to make sure that you have continuity. You know, because if not, everything.
So now we're
especially the working teams that meet once a year.
Third bullet.
Okay.
No chair, co-chairs.
My position, and this is the last one I'll ever say, I don't think there's anything I'll say tonight. We need two co-chairs. We need a chair from our group at large, and we need a chair that is somehow hooked into a community board, one of the three. So it will be two co-chairs. And I've given my reasons 1,000 times why I believe that that's.
Does anyone here have issues with co-chairs?
Those people are on the. In this coordinating committee here?
Well, that would be the sub-bullet. Do they get to vote in the coordinating committee? Are they just leading the coordinating committee? Kind of what is that responsibility?
I would say leading the coordinating committee.
Facilitating.
We always thought that was the role of facilitating.
Not voting.
So
okay.
They don't have any extra powers or anything.
Facilitating.
Yeah. That way the coordinating committee is, the whole committee is accountable to the
coordinating committee.
That's correct.
No,
not just the two
vote.
People, right?
I would also change the name to facilitator and not chair. Because I think that holds a different weight with the media, with other organizations, with whoever, in terms of what that means. Because it sounds like that's what that person is going to be. They're going to be facilitating.
So be co-facilitators?
No, I don't like that at all because it reduces the role. I don't know why you want to disempower the chair and co-chair of this group. I don't know why we would want to do that. I don't know why you would want to do that. I don't know why you wouldn't want to portray to the city of New York, to the state of New York, to the community boards, that this group has chairs and co-chairs. Why do we depower ourselves by calling it anything less than that?
It's not necessarily that we disempower ourselves so much as we're empowering the entire group so that this person does facilitate what is going on.
How does that empower the whole group by disempowering the chair?
I think that the group could vote on issues and then the chair could bring it up and they will bring forth information. For example, I'm surprised, to be honest with you, that one of the community board meetings when the Chinatown partnership meeting was going before the committee, that someone, I think Jan, had raised the issue of to be found at the Chinatown partnership, did not have to go through the economic development team.
That was Rob.
And someone said, well, DG said it's fine to go through that. I mean, I thought that you, so that seemed to empower you being the spokesperson. I don't remember that I was part of the transportation committee that worked with the economic development team. I don't remember that going before us. So I
don't know if that has to do with what I'm saying. I want a chair and a co-chair that has a semblance or an appearance of some power to represent the wishes of this community. Mm-hmm. And that chair is in direct interface with the chair of the community board, with the elected official. I want somebody up there that represents the power that I'm giving it. Otherwise, a facilitator, get a professor, get a PhD. Have a therapy session. I don't believe in that. I'm not wasting my time.
I don't believe that Gigi, you were representing. Excuse me, please. I don't believe that Gigi was really representing my position.
Representing mine.
Past history, but going forward, we should have that.
See,
that's the thing that I invest. If I see a chair that I think I can trust, I'm going to vote for that chair. And I'm investing my trust and confidence in that person to carry this task. If by the route of 1 year, that chair does something wrong, I go to that chair and yell and scream, as I usually do. And that doesn't mean any, that's all. I tell the chair, you said something you should never have said. It's not beyond me to do that. But that's not going to happen all of the time. If it happens at all.
Well, I think that I think that the name, I don't think it's so much in the name as in like what responsibility, or the limitation on what the power. I think that they should not be able to vote. They should play
I don't agree with that.
But I don't think it necessarily means changing. It doesn't mean changing the name necessarily. It can still say co-chair, but we don't want it to go back to the way it was before, where they have all assuming power, just to say, I represent this whole group when.
I agree, Joseph, except that the coordinating committee, as we now have, are trying to restructure it as is incorporated into a decision-making process. What is much more of an improvement than the way we used to operate, where there was a whole vacuum. But now we have a body of people who represent all the working teams sitting at a table with the co-chairs making decisions. It's not in a vacuum. It's now all together. I don't see how the co-chairs can isolate themselves from the wishes of that group. And got to recognize that that group is saying certain things. And then that chair and co-chair is empowered much more than before to go out and do what you're supposed to do on behalf of this the voice of this coordinating committee and entire Chinatown working group.
There are two issues that we're dealing with. Your issue, which is whether co-chairs create greater power for the entire process. And the issue that Jeannie has presented, which is the other side, which is the downside of having co-chairs as having too much power. I do believe that it is inevitable with co-chairs of this kind of power that they will make decisions. I think it's just inevitable. That's how it happens.
And shouldn't they?
I didn't say whether they should or not. But what Jeannie is presenting is the should not part, which is the disenfranchisement of the group. And that a lot of that depends on the person who becomes the chair, who is the chair, and the quality of that person. Sometimes all of that depends on whether that person is in tune with what it is the group does.
And that's why you should vote for the right person.
That's if there is such a person. That's also a question.
But I'm not going to go by default. That's not our person.
So let's
I want a person.
The other question is your side of the question, which is, does a chair empower the group as a whole?
No, the
and this is what I'm not quite sure.
The
maybe
group empowers the chair.
I mean, in the view of the public, and city, whatever it is, does having a chair create greater power in the group?
Absolutely.
And it seems to me that we have here a government agency coordination point person, a person who speaks for those issues.
That's the person I'd be careful of.
You know, we have the...
That's the person I'd be careful of. You just gave one person who has no direct incorporation into the voting power of the group to go and represent us at a government agency. You think I would trust that person?
In what sense is that any different from a co-chair?
The co-chair has heard clearly from the group that you tell Senator Squadron this is what we need.
This is a very good important point regarding the coordinating committee.
We
have to define all of those we have to find what their mandate is.
So why don't we start with the co-chair.
Well, we know what the
whatever we call those people, if we have those people. Can we start there, Rob?
Mm-hmm.
Like the co-chair, what should like what you say? One of the things is that for them to be the voice of. Why do we need one person to be a voice? I mean, what does that look like? Why can't
It helps in terms of the unit. It defines the unity of the group, that we all have confidence in that one person.
To do what?
To represent the group.
How?
To government agencies, to elected officials.
But we have that with government agencies.
No, we don't.
No, that's a coordinator is a little different, I think.
No, government agency coordination?
No coordinator. I would allow to lead this group and speak for this group without this whole group giving that person the power to.
Yes, that has to be required.
Why?
All of these members.
And so, if that's true, why wouldn't that be the chair's responsibility? Why would you give it to that person when the chair is available to do that?
No, I think that's
by
okay
definition.
As long as the chair is accountable to the
whole. It always should be accountable.
And like Jeannie was saying, it's a problem when, you know, it hasn't gone through the discussion of the whole group. And like last night, for example, like the bid should be brought up to discussion with the whole Chinatown working group, and it wasn't. You know, and it made it seem like, you know, we all had agreed.
I think you misinterpret something. There is no group in this community that has any responsibility to the Chinatown working group. Because the Chinatown working group has not developed to the point where any group would come and divulge what it is they want to do. But then, that's
are
great,
you
because
saying that it's not a representative body? It's a body.
Oh, I don't think it is yet. I don't think it is yet.
Then why are you even
participating?
No, 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 that's not what happened. No, I am hoping that it becomes that.
Victor, what happened was something different. I made a speech saying that the bid never went to the Chinatown Working Group, and it should.
You have made a presentation before a body that represents so many different groups would have allowed for a lot of discussion and different points of views
and
to
I also said, Victor, wait, let's give you the history. And I said, it disrespected the Chinatown Working Group and diminished the Chinatown Working Group by going past it. So, they were asked by a member of the community board, go to the Chinatown Working Group. Speak in Chinatown. And Wellington did. And Wellington basically said, I think, we don't really have to go to the Chinatown Working Group. And the answer was, okay, so, you know, you're going ahead, it's too late anyway, so go ahead. I think that's more or less what,
I understand
what it is. And
Wellington said he had spoken to Gigi over, and she said he didn't have to go through the.
I don't want this to become the China.
I don't think it's fair.
This is not the bid. I don't want to discuss the bid.
No,
I want to discuss
it.
This is the upshot, Victor. The issue is one of process, and this is what Joseph said. We have to have a clear process. And but you don't agree with this. Because you want Victor.
Chairs are accountable to the Chinatown Working Group. Don't tell me what I said.
Victor, you want the chair to have a certain latitude.
Absolutely.
That's what others of us.
Absolutely. The
aren't so happy with.
The latitude will make
others of us would like to have a very strict process. So that we know that they actually do speak for us.
Yet you want a chair to be able to speak for this diverse and not fully, not perfectly democratic.
Right. You want to,
so that doesn't, isn't that a contradiction for you?
No, it's just like, what kind of message do we want to send? Do we want to send a message and say that, oh, it's okay, we don't matter. You can do whatever you want.
Or never
should we demand that they should be accountable?
I never said that.
Then we should demand that they be accountable to this broad-based representative.
By definition, the chairs are, by definition, accountable.
Not the chairs. I mean the bid should do a presentation. It should be up for discussion.
Fine. I'm talking about the chairs of the Chinatown Working Group and the role of the chairs. The role of those two chairs. First and foremost, they're accountable and speak on behalf of the whole Chinatown Working
Group. What is the accountability? You have to define it.
Accountability is what is reported by them and to them when they're interfacing with the coordinating committee and the whole entire Chinatown Working Group.
Before or after?
Before
they make decisions.
Absolutely. I have confidence in who I'm going to vote for has that.
Then they don't make any decisions at all.
Right?
If they report before, they're not making decisions.
Well, I would have to assume that there might be times when they have to make decisions.
This is the very question of the problem. Should they make decisions or absolutely not?
There's a certain parameter that I would allow them in which to make decisions.
What's an example?
When the chairs are privy to a discussion about the budget needs that we have, and the chair happens to be in the company of a person or an agency that could in fact extend that fund to us, should the chair shut up because the facilitator is not here, so don't say a word. Don't say a word. I have an opportunity here, but we don't operate that way. I have to go back to the Chinatown Working Group before I speak to you. That's nonsense. That's regressive. I have faith in people in my community can lead. They can lead. And I will follow them if I have confidence in them. And vice versa.
But would you be parallel to the decision that Jim might have taken when he was interfacing with the EDC to see whether they would be the agency, and then he decided, okay, well, they have a controlling vote, well, that's okay.
He didn't decide that. Jim Solomon went through pains to come back, and I protested the EDC requirement that they have the majority on the committee. But after a while, I said, screw that. Let them try to screw this community, and we will protest it. Jim had the opportunity to discuss our issues with EDC. It's because Jim was empowered as chair that we had that opportunity with EDC. I'm so happy you raised that. So otherwise, if Jim didn't... the logic you're presenting is telling me that if Jim was not empowered to speak on our behalf, we would have lost the opportunity of the EDC.
And I'm glad we did, as it turns out.
No, don't say that. Because the EDC proposition that came to us was something we either had to accept or not accept. What you're suggesting is we would have never heard it at all.
What I'm suggesting is that he could have brought it back to the people and said, are you all willing to
have... He said that. He did do that. Don't say he didn't do that.
Wait.
He also said that we didn't have any other choice.
He said we didn't have any choice.
We did. We had no choice. If we went with EDC, we would have had to accept the majority of them on the governing committee. I understood that. We had no choice in that. I understood that.
So then why didn't he say, what does everyone think about it? Do we want to look for an alternative organization?
He did. He brought in an alternative organization.
That was after the battle, okay?
What battle? Can
I make a suggestion? Because I think if we're talking about the chair and co-chair,
then
the issue is more about accountability. So it's not, I think the issue probably is not having a chair or co-chair. I mean, I think at the end of the day, we do need somebody to, you know, whether it be two people, whether it be, we need somebody to represent the Chinatown Working Group. If it's the issue of accountability, why don't they go through, like, for example, every few months, go through, like, an assessment by... One by the coordinating committee, and then also by the pool.
The other issue is also just putting in some sort of process where new items are brought to either the coordinating committee or the full Chinatown Working Group or whatever you end up deciding. I think that's the issue, and I think that the difference here is that Victor's fine with the chair making some of these decisions on his or her own, whereas some of us are not fine with that and would like
I think there's some agreement that maybe you need some people, whoever they are, to represent the Chinatown Working Group.
Right.
But not, I don't. I would agree that, you know, with Rob and Bethany and Jeannie, and that you don't want, and not with you, Victor, that you don't want the chair to have latitude to make decisions. You know, I think that the chair should be acting kind of like as a communicating secretary or something like that, where you're saying, okay, this is, and just report facts both from the Chinatown Working Group to the government agencies or whatever they're representing, and vice versa. So if there's a funding opportunity and it sounds great, you could say, that sounds pretty good. Let me bring it back to the Chinatown Working Group.
You don't
dismiss the opportunity, but you be accountable.
I would say that what you cited just now, you cite more as a rule than an exception. I think the chair or the chairs of this group would, by exception, represent this group and use judgment based upon their interaction with the group as a whole. And in most instances, they would be correct. And in one or two rare instances, they would be incorrect. And the incorrect assumptions that some might make, we can discuss that. I would expect that the chairs would make mistakes less times than they wouldn't. I don't know how else to say that. I have complete trust in the chairs, and if I didn't have trust in the chair, I would raise the issue with the whole Chinatown Working Group to remove the chair if I thought there was improper representation of what the Chinatown Working Group was trying.
Well, that's exactly what happened.
Well, then
maybe there should be something in place. And so what we're suggesting is putting in place a process that would make that exception less and less happen, less often.
And you need to find the role so that whoever the chair is knows that the priority is report with the Chinatown Working Group where we're at. And there's as much disagreement as agreement on a number of issues, and that needs to be reported, and vice versa. You know, like, I just don't understand how, you know, I think we need to get away from the model where the chairs are making decisions.
And that's part of the reason why there is a coordinating committee, because my understanding of the government agency coordinator person was that person would be the person interacting with the government agencies once they are empowered by the entire coordinating.
I think you disempowered the Canada Working Group by doing that. I really do.
But I disagree.
Of course you do, but I'm saying that two co-chairs, by the way, is a good check against each other, that in fact we should empower them to represent the views and the positions of the Chinatown Working Group. We should empower them to do that. We should invest our power into them. That's what that's all about.
Can I ask, so what is the purpose? Like, what is this government agency coordinator person doing if they then aren't the ones...
I don't want that position.
I actually agree that it should not...
I think the thinking behind government/agency coordination was not so much the actual government agencies, but the community boards, because every single PAP has to, because we can change that to community board coordinator.
Okay, but then how would that be different from, say, if we end up with a co-chair that is a community board co-chair? Isn't that the point of the community board co-chair?
It's a wonderful possibility.
Well, I mean, that's something I don't agree with either. I don't think one of them necessarily has to be a community board representative. I think if the community board representative really represents the community, then he or she on his own standing should be up for election, and then they can be voted in just like anybody else. But I don't think it should necessarily be one from the community board and one... Yeah, a requirement, and then another one from the board, because, you know, frankly, a lot of people from the community board don't really represent the community, so...
I know. I think it's short-sighted.
I mean, if they are really active in the community, they really represent, are accountable, they can run,
people can
vote
for
them.
You could sit here all night and speculate on all the bad things a co-chair can do. You could speculate all you want, and I would say yes. There are instances where that is possible to happen, and I would say it's rare. I would say to you with regard to the co-chair position of the community board that we would be very, very short-sighted to think that not hooking ourselves and linking ourselves to the community board in fact makes the community board less accountable to us than doing it this way. The community board becomes accountable to us by being part of us. You take them off, and you lost your link with the community board.
They don't take them off.
I mean, they're still part of it.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
And
no, they're
in
not.
Fact, I would say that we can probably find better ways to strengthen that, the communication and strengthen the accountability.
Let me tell you, politics has
not
changed.
A co-chair doesn't necessarily do that.
Politics has changed in this city so much that the community board fails no accountability to the community. Let me speak freely.
I'll let you speak freely.
Because there is something to be said about the failure of the community boards in discussing things like you're raising. And it's there becomes, with community boards, an arrogance. There becomes somewhat of an established, some community board members are members over 30 years on the community board, which shows to me, demonstrates to me, that it's a conventional establishment, and the elected officials want it that way, and it preserved the status quo. Put them on this body in some official way, where that person is pressured to go back to that community board and represent the views of this body.
But it's not happening. Like, for example...
Let it happen with this new structure. Let it happen.
Like, for example, with the community board, they didn't go to the community to find out what they wanted.
You want to go back to the bid? You want to go back?
As a recent example.
Yes, but...
I mean, that's what happened.
But are we proposing that that's what happens again?
Victor, could I say something? Victor, because we've heard what you're saying, and you make some very good points, and I think that you're right, that the community board liaison, whatever it is, has to be prominent in this in some way. It's really got to be essential. It really has to be, and that was from the very beginning the essential part of the structure of the Chinatown Working Group. There was an understanding that we would get nothing unless we had a community board member, specifically community board 3 member, as our somehow leader of this thing. We just wouldn't get anything. There's no point in doing
it. It's a city charter.
But about process, you say it very rarely happens. You give the example of the EDC issue, but you give the example that, yeah, Jim came to the Chinatown Working Group. I actually think that there's any reason why a chair shouldn't follow process. I don't think there's any conditions under which a chair can't say, yes, we want this, you know, we want to buy the Louisiana Purchase, but I just have to go back and tell them.
If they can, they will.
Things, you know, like Louisiana Purchase don't happen.
Rob, I agree with that.
And so I think that we should have, I don't think there would be any problem with having a absolutely strict process that's very clear as to, with an outline of how that process goes.
Well,
for in every instance.
Then we should have a procedure that governs the behavior of the two coaches.
Now, Victor, let me finish. There's another insurance that you can have, sort of like the public advocate that we have. You have another position that's entirely independent that you can appeal to and say the mayor is a jerk, right? He's doing something that's
going to be my interest. Public advocate position of any use to the city.
That's a problem with our administration. Doesn't have to be a problem with
so
the working.
But less of an effective tool.
You can. You also have in any.
Don't quote me on that,
Victor. In any group, you're supposed to have a parliamentarian. Somebody who is not a voter, not a member, not a member at all, who's sitting out there saying, excuse me, Chair, you can't do this.
Why would you have a parliamentarian?
To ensure the process.
That's what we should have.
And so I'm suggesting that
they
have...
They have it in the community boards, but he's also a member of the executive committee.
Yeah, we should have.
We should maybe have that
co-chair.
Position
That's right.
of the process point.
I agree with that if you agree with the co-chairs.
And then the last thing I want to say, because we're going...
Yes,
One is that I don't think we have come to any consensus on this issue. We've talked about having co-chairs. We haven't discussed the idea of not having co-chairs and what we could have in lieu of that. And I think that should be on the agenda for
Didn't
us.
Didn't we say facilitators?
There's that issue as well. These are the alternatives.
That was just a name change.
We're talking
right?
about replicating what we already have. We need to discuss the alternatives. We haven't discussed the alternatives yet. Because I want that on the record.
It's on the record.
Okay, so clearly we don't have a proposal to present.
We have something to present.
We have something to present, but I think we have to... this just can't go on forever. Like, it is just a lot of...
I think it's a progress.
No, I agree, but there's also two other issues which I actually brought handouts for, which is, you know, voting structure as well as membership guidelines, which
those
also,
are very important as well,
which we haven't even touched yet, and it is January and we're, you know, Lunar New Year. I mean, it's essentially we're now at like the end of February and looking to present at a March meeting, letting people have 1 month to think about the options of how they're going to vote, which brings us to April, right? So I just want to be realistic about what kind of timeline we have and, you know, what else is left
to be done. Can I suggest that the issue of the co-chairs, that
So maybe if we can't decide if...
Why don't we just present it as is?
We present as the options are either not having chairs or having co-chairs.
I want to make an argument for what I'm talking about. I want it to be considered as a full proposal. I think it's an essential, very essential.
Right, but I'm not saying whether I agree with you or not in facilitating this discussion. We haven't reached a consensus if that's what we're comfortable putting forward.
We haven't worked it all out either.
Listen, notwithstanding this governance committee, I as a member of the Chinatown, you might find this arrogant, but I as a member of the Chinatown Working Group, I'm going to the Chinatown Working Group and presenting to the Chinatown Working Group the proposal for the co-chairs. I feel it's important enough to do that. Now, you could discuss it here, but I feel that when the Chinatown Working Group convenes, this question is essential and should be framed.
When are you making this proposal?
Well, it depends. I was waiting to hear what you were leading up to March.
I mean, at this rate, we're not going to have anything till March because we want a plan, right? Which would include structure, membership, and voting, right? Those are the three things that we were tasked to do.
But then you said you would propose that these are questions still unresolved, and then you would have that group decided, right?
Well, I don't think we're even at the point where we can say, here's option A and here's option B, vote. Rob is saying that we've only really thoroughly discussed option A, and we have yet to discuss an alternative option.
So far, we've described a coordinating committee with all of this stuff here, and I assume you're going to present this, or somebody's going to present this.
Yeah, that's
going to
present, but I think they...
And we're going to mention that we haven't yet, we have some proposals, but we haven't worked them out on the other stuff.
So why can't we frame those proposals and bring them to that meeting?
We don't have enough time now to frame them all. We haven't discussed
them. I can frame mine with no problem.
We knew that before this governance committee.
You should frame yours. I know what I would like to present.
Victor, and what you're proposing is a replication of what is current.
So what?
We all know that.
So what?
What we needed was to consider the alternatives. We haven't done that, so we can't go and say, okay, we're ready for something to vote on.
Oh, is there an alternative on the table?
I'm sorry?
Is there any alternative that's on the table that we can consider?
Actually, we have some alternatives to the co-chairs. We have some kind of process.
I don't see that written down, or I don't see the parameters of that.
Of what?
We're having a parliamentarian, someone to help facilitate more.
I heard we need facilitators. I don't know what that means. What is the definition of facilitator? Chair, I understand. And I made my point in a proactive way.
Victor, we all understand what it is you want. The problem is that that's what we already have, and we need to look at, we have this governance to consider.
Let's forget about what he said. Now, we want to hear other alternatives.
It's 751. Do you want
to continue? Okay, so what needs to be done, which hasn't been done, is that people, individuals, organizations, who would like to present
an alternative
that is not the status quo, then it needs to be written on paper and we need to hash it out. We can
something like this, in other words.
Right. Like I came today with other options, right? Like the Google document that is on with the edits. I have the current Chinatown Working Group membership guidelines, plus what I'd like to add. I need people to come to these meetings with concrete proposals instead of which lead us to developing actual proposals for people to consider as opposed to discussing things in theory.
Okay, we did this, right? We have the suggestion of having facilitators rather than co-chairs. But as usual in this governance committee, it gets turned into, no, let's have co-chairs, which I find very frustrating, because what I'm trying to say
of the last 10 minutes is we should be considering those alternatives, not saying no, let's go back to co-chair. We settled the co-chair. Excuse me, you're interrupting.
Let him finish, please.
We should start all of us agreeing to discuss those alternatives and consider them, open them up, take a look at what's possible.
I agree.
And not say, no, let's do
co-chair. She didn't say no.
I didn't offer any opinion on this because I'm just
saying. Just so Victor, the co-chairs are going to be one of the proposals. No doubt. If Kay were here, she would tell you. That's the whole point.
Not only is it going to be, I'm going to elaborate on it. I'm going to enhance the argument. I'm going to build the argument. Because I feel it's as much of an alternative as you say yours is.
Right. It's going to be there. It's already current, and so we need to look at the other.
I agree with that. What I'm saying is, if you are at this table and you are suggesting an alternative, you clearly didn't think of it sitting here right now. You've given it thought. We've had 3 months. We've met 4-5 times, and right now all we have to show for it is a 15-member coordinating
committee. Honestly, I feel that it's something that we need to discuss.
Right, but
I don't
you
think
bring
it's
it
good for one person to come out of a head.
Well, discussion is fine.
It's better listening to everyone talk.
But I think it will be more productive if we have
something. Right? You can't just say, I don't want co-chairs, I want facilitators with a process, possibly a parliamentarian, and then hash it out. Like, it's just not...
Given the time constraints that we have, why don't whoever have those, the facilitator, the parliamentarian, can we sort of present it in a document somehow that people can look at and put comment or do something before the next meeting if you're going to have a meeting?
Because if we're meeting once a month.
Because I think it's an idea that has to be, if you're going to want to present an alternative.
You know, I presented something a long time ago.
If I could summarize part of what I've heard. In terms of organizational naming and structure, we have some ways to go. But in terms of the power or the political question at the heart of co-chairs versus no co-chairs, whatever this is going to look like, I think is how much power and how much latitude, do we want to concentrate in the hands of one or two people, whoever they are. We could call them, the communication chairs or whatever, and they can still act like co-chairs, and they can still make decisions and stuff like that. So I think we need to define, and I think some of us are coming from a position that we do want to disempower certain people so that this diverse group that is the Chinatown Work Group is empowered by not having one or two people speak for this group that, they may not, and the history has shown, have not fully represented in the right way. And so I think that's the question that we have debated quite a bit here tonight. And so maybe we don't have the answer of what it's going to look like, but I think some of us are probably would prefer no co-chair, are amenable to co-chairs, but they would have to be very restricted. And there, we need guidelines that...
Well, for example, every quarter year, there's a certain assessment. We can list out what it is.
So then we agree on co-chairs.
It's okay to agree or disagree, but as long as you can set something to back up what you disagree on. Let's put it down on paper.
There's a process in place to say...
I think that's...
To hold them accountable to the entire group. So
that's okay.
For example, is every quarter year, there's an assessment, there's a review. People from the coordinating committee review it. People from the full group review it. And then kind of...
What do you think?
I
won't tell you what I really think of it, but I would go with that.
If you agree with it, then let's put it somehow on paper with discussion or
press. Or speaking, making statements. I think there needs to be a process by which even press statements are made before any appearance or anything, and the co-chairs or whoever this person is called speaks to the press or politicians. There has to
be reasonable. An event occurs, a journalist shows up, sorry, I can't talk to you. I got to call up the Hulk.
No, no, not that. But they are restricted by this press statement. Or they're restricted by the guidelines.
But of course.
Well, that's not been above the course in the past.
A press statement is the same as a spokesperson saying something orally. Has to conform to what the Kennedy Working Group thinks.
That is a policy. Every organization
has. Yes, well, there should be a spokesperson. It should and not be the coach.
Well, as an example.
Because it's just this it's consolidation of power in one person who's speaking and making decisions. And
technically, yes, Ricky.
So I think what's taking up so much time the last few meetings is that we keep on looking back. And I feel the frustration with many. And that's why we're having this meeting, so that we can strengthen what has went wrong in the past. Okay? And whether we could call it a co-chair, a co-facilitator, no chair, no what have you, right? There needs to be accountability. And in my perspective, if the previous co-chairs didn't do their job or misrepresented, then either there was, you know, he or she did not face full accountability, or that there was not enough of those who feel that way put pressure on them. And from now on, moving forward, there needs to be full accountability to these, you know, people.
Something in place.
And for me, you know, I would feel comfortable with a co-chair so that there will be some checks and balances. Any kind of organization needs to have some figurehead. And he or she needs to be governed and taking full responsibility and having checks and balances by the full Chinatown working group, because he or she represents us, right? And he or she needs to at times make judgment calls. And he or she can bring some of the elements back to the full board. And if he or she has done something wrong with an impromptu judgment call, then we need to make he or she accountable for that, so that in the future, he or she won't make that error again. And, you know, that's all I have to say. And my frustration today is that I hope we can move forward, is that I could see that there are proposals, chair, co-chair, no co-chair, but we took up a chunk of time talking about co-chairs, and it sounds like we all kind of assume we're going with co-chairs, and we lost time. We only have time. That's only what we have. We only have time. We lost a chunk of time.
Can somebody just write out, like, what can be put in place to hold them more accountable?
I can do that.
Accountability assessments, whatever you want to put it, right?
That would be a fun.
Yeah, I mean,
a periodic. It's a performance review.
Okay.
And also, what responsibilities
and
powers? If you guys are doing it,
you hear that?
Responsibility.
Say that again. So make sure.
For example, what will they be reviewed on? What
criteria?
Why don't you tell us that, Joseph? Why don't you write that up?
Because I think it's
silly. I'd like to see what you're doing about it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe
most nonprofits do that. They have a board.
I would like to see what's
every meeting you have.
If there are no chairs, how can we
an evaluation
make it work?
It works very
and then,
well.
You know, compare it side by side, having a, you know, sort of like a comparison chart. Co-chairs, chair, and no chair.
Is that bear in mind that two of the most active members of this group are not here tonight, Jan and Danny. Jan and Danny belong to a group that has no chairs. They're a very effective group. I've been in part of at least two groups that were incredibly effective.
I didn't find
and had no chairs.
I didn't find them effective at all. In fact, I lost the chain of communication somehow because it was so complicated.
That's your point of view, but at least for some of us who are not experienced that, we would like to see how is that model different and how we could compare it. And time is ticking. We don't want to rush into judgment, but we don't have all the time.
I don't have the burden of trying to show the comparisons. I only have the burden of making the argument for the argument I already made. That's all I feel responsible for. I am not going to make comparisons and contrasts and things like that. I'm sorry.
So that was all my point. Well, Jan and Danny are not here, so
That's one of the things they should be. They really should be here to help whatever.
So why don't we move
forward in a positive way? Why don't we do something around the accountability, like delineate that more?
I'll try to do that, Michael, with my proposal. Your assessment idea, which I don't agree with, you should write it.
It's the same thing. I mean, just
there's two things, because it's also a process. You can actually define the process and say that the chair can do X, Y, and Z, and not do A, B, and C.
And also, she was talking about sort of a performance review every quarterly.
Yeah, that's a separate thing. That's
a separate thing.
In addition. So there's
guidelines and restrictions, and then and
accountability
review.
To make sure this person is doing
what the... I think both are needed. Both would be good.
So that's fine. Then that's when it happens. Then we all just fold.
I'm probably not agreeing.
Well, start it, and I'll...
So, do we have time to talk about that?
No,
I don't have time anymore. It's past 8 o'clock.
Madam Chair, we need another governance committee in the month of January. Where each one who is charged tonight to do their task can come back and report.
All right, 2 weeks from today, January
18th.
I'm not going to say anything. Yeah, look at my...
I'm only facilitating and not offering opinion.
Tuesday, January 18th?
Yes.
January 18th?
5:30 or 6:30?
Well, there will be no steering committee, so it will be all governance, so...
What time is better for people?
So,
January
18th. It's a Tuesday.
Do you think 6:30 is better?
5:30 is fine with me on Thursday, on Tuesdays.
So, here at ISS, we'd be happy to have you.
Five.
I don't know how long that's going to last.
So,
January 18th, 5:30.
I mean, what do we want at that meeting? Are we going to kind of go through kind of
let's just start with the voting structure.
Yeah.
That keeps on.
Let's address the voting structure membership.
Membership is the first thing, I think, because voting structure, if you're not a member, how the hell are you going to be voting?
Either way, those two points we address, right?
I think the most fundamental is membership to me.
Yeah, actually, that is.
Okay.
We could argue and comment.
Yeah.
That
So let's do that.
Anybody know why is
membership and voting on that meeting, right?
Well, you guys, I hope to be here that day.
For you.